shot from Cole. Tipped down in front. They'll score! Jesper Foss knocked it in, but that's going to be whistled down as it was knocked down by a high stick by Andrei Svechnikov before it was touched by a Canuck player. So, good play to knock it down, but wave the goal off. It's given a shoulder by Stahl. That creates a turnover for the Canes for the moment. Tyler Myers tries to clear. He does. Puck gets past Smith. Mott gets to it. Mott coming in. Two on one. Ranta with the save. Still loose, and Smith with a great stick to poke that away as Justin Dowling, who'd been inserted into the lineup, had a glorious opportunity. And now the Canes.
Slavin back into the Vancouver
zone. What a move by Jacob Slavin. Shot right on, and Demko with the excellent catching glove takes that one away from Jacob Slavin. But what a move by the Canes defenseman. Tyler Myers, the big defenseman, has it. He takes three strides. He's in the Canes zone. Now we're going to back out score. Patterson. Set up for Elias Patterson. He goes top corner in Vancouver with a 2-0 lead here in the second period. Canes drifting in. Jarvis Natchez back in. Scores! Highlight reel goal. Naughty by Natchez, and the Canes right back in this one. They're down 2-1. Now Horvat's got a step. He's in on Ranta. Huge save. Antti Ranta with the glove. Now back out in front. Dickinson can't control the rebound. He'll pitch that wide. Canes will live to play on. Is this puck deflected back into the Vancouver
now
zone?
Dickinson speeds it. His shot snapped on. Ranta save. Two saves. Antti Ranta, mercy. Keeping Carolina in this one.
Stretch the cup. Back in. Forehand. Loose puck in the slot. It's clear to the boards. 15 seconds left. That goes wide. Carolina. Teravainen has it. Back to Slavin. Slavin to Teravainen. 5 seconds left. Sending it across for Natchez. He can't handle it. 2 seconds left. Vancouver will sweep this to the Canes zone. And this game is over. Carolina threw everything they had at the Canucks in that final 2 minutes. But they couldn't find the equalizer, and the Canes will lose their first game on this 5-game road trip.
This is the Canes Corner Podcast with host Adam Gold, presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. The Canes Corner Podcast is part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now, here's your host, Adam Gold.
Welcome to the Canes Corner Podcast. I am Adam Gold. Didn't go well in Vancouver. They lose 2-1. A shorthanded Hurricanes unit could not find the mark on Thatcher Demko. As Carolina played hard, threw everything at him, couldn't get it in the end. We're brought to you by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. If it's for the exterior of your home, you can find it at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina on Hamlin Road in Durham. No place like it. So if you need siding, if you need entry doors, storm doors, gutter helmets, they've got it all. All you got to do is go online for a free no obligation estimate at aluminumcompany.com. So, first loss in the nation of Canada this year for the Carolina Hurricanes. They had won in Montreal. They won in Winnipeg. They won in Calgary. They won in Edmonton. Could not win in Vancouver. Canucks 4-0 under Bruce Boudreaux. He took over this week. As a matter of fact, it's funny because I think it was Tuesday, was it? I'm listening to an interview with Boudreaux on an NHL radio. It might have been Monday. And he was later that day, he was named head coach of the Vancouver Canucks. Absolutely remarkable. Anyway, no Sebastian Aho tonight. Illness. At this point, they don't think it's COVID because there has been the flu basically running through the team. They're certainly hopeful it's not COVID. He has not yet tested positive, so he can fly to Minnesota with the team. But if they get to Minnesota and he's positive there, then he will stay in Minnesota for another 10 days. And I'm not saying that's a terrible thing to be in Minnesota, but doesn't make a difference where you are. You can be in the greatest place in the world. If he tests positive in Minnesota, he has to stay in a hotel room in Minnesota for 10 days. And frankly, this team doesn't want to lose Sebastian Aho for 10 days. So let's all keep our fingers and toes crossed that it ultimately is not COVID. But remember, the Hurricanes have had a whole bunch of players sick. And they haven't tested positive for the coronavirus. Ethan Bear did. Brett Pesci and Tony D'Angelo did. By the way, they believe that those instances are unrelated, and the Hurricanes didn't have any other positive COVID test off of D'Angelo and Pesci, who will both be back in the lineup, by the way, when the Hurricanes skate in Minnesota on Tuesday. I think there was actually plenty to like about today's game. So I'm not bent out of shape by the loss. We'll talk about a lot of it. And then, as I promised, we'll go to some questions for things and maybe some other things that came up during the game. So, again, I thought there was a lot to like about the game. Remember, no Sebastian Aho. So Carolina's got plenty of centers. Staal actually moved up and played with Teravainen and Niederreiter in the first two periods. It didn't really work well. So Rod kind of juggled some things going forward. So Staal, Trocheck, Kotkaniemi, and Stepan moved back over to the center spot, and they don't have an extra forward with them. They have an extra defenseman, so they played 11-7 tonight, and that's not why they lost. I know people don't like 11-7. It's never by choice, but that's what they did tonight. Anyway, Antti Raanta, great, 24 saves, ton of huge stops, probably deserved better in this game. Really kept Carolina in it. Really the entire third period, he made tons of huge saves just to give Carolina a chance. But they just couldn't find the second goal. They got the one from Natchez, as you heard, fairly early in the third period, but they couldn't get another one to go. And they had plenty of opportunities. It seemed like it was one of those nights where the puck was just like in tight to your body, couldn't get it on your stick. It was on your backhand when you needed it on your forehand, just those types of things. Just one of those games where the puck luck didn't go your way. But Antti Raanta, really good in this game. Jesperi Kotkaniemi, Martin Natchez, Seth Jarvis, that was Carolina's best line tonight. They were excellent all night long. Kotkaniemi played nearly 18 minutes. Natchez was over 20 minutes. Very good, really, all three guys. That was the combination on the goal. Kotkaniemi with a good physical play at his own end. Jarvis gets the puck out to on the left-hand side. He feathers a saucer pass to Natchez, who goes forehand, backhand over the blocker of Demko to make it 2-1. And Carolina's got a ton of momentum. They just couldn't sustain it. They ultimately got a power play, but the power play was eh. And I think this is probably where maybe Carolina's weariness, if there was any, showed up. So they win two faceoffs right away. Kotkaniemi wins the faceoff twice on the left dot, but Carolina doesn't get the puck. They were just a little slow reacting, and Vancouver was quicker reacting. They did not play last night. And so you win two draws, but you don't maintain possession of the puck, and it gets shot down the ice. Now, they eventually, the first unit eventually did get a couple of good looks, but then when the second unit came on, the second unit has really, really struggled of late. And I didn't think the second unit was very good. Svechnikov, Trocheck, Jesper Foss for two periods was an excellent line. We're going to talk about Svechnikov here in a second. Got you feel for the guy, man, because he's playing really well. But they couldn't get a puck to go in, and then in the third period, Rod flipped Svechnikov to a different line, and he had Staal playing with Nino and Jesper Foss. That's a line that, when Carolina in the beginning of the year, before Nino got hurt, that line was playing excellent, excellent hockey. But honestly, I think tonight was really about more about a desperate Canucks team. Again, just fired their coach. You bring in Bruce Boudreau. Jim Rutherford is now the executive vice president. You know, he's going to be GM for a short period of time until they hire one. But look, Boudreau's a good coach. They're selling out right now, 24 blocks. Tucker Pullman had 7 blocks on his own. So that was the difference in the game. They capitalized on a couple of opportunities, one in the first, another in the second. They didn't get a ton of chances on Carolina. Carolina had the better scoring chances. Whether you look at it analytically or you just watch the game, you can tell. It's not that Vancouver didn't have great chances. They did. But Carolina had more of them. They just couldn't get them to go. They did, you know, what they did to Anton Forsberg, what they did to Brayden Holtby, what they have done to other goalies. They peppered the goalie in the chest with the puck, and you have to miss the goalie. You can't score if you don't miss the goalie, and they just hit him right in the chest. Jordan Staal had a couple of great opportunities, and just put it right in the C. And that whatever that C is on the Canucks uniform, he put it right in there, right in the middle of the C. Just to, you know, kind of explain the difference in Vancouver since the firing of Travis Green and the elevation of Bruce Boudreau to head coach. Brock Besser, 3 goals in 4 games. Besser has had a rough year. I mean, a very, very rough year. He's got 7 goals on the season, 3 of them in the last 4 games. He's, you know, arguably, I don't think it's arguable. He's their best player, right? So Brock Besser has struggled. JT Miller has points in all 4 games, a goal and 4 assists. Thatcher Demko's in net for all 4 games, all 4 wins. He's allowed just 5 goals. So things are going well for them. I've been saying this for 2 years. But I picked Vancouver to win the division last year. I mean, they have talent, a ton of talent. It's just been a rough go for a lot of their best players, but they've got a ton of talent, man. I would not be surprised if Vancouver went on a little run and threatened a playoff spot there. I mean, I think they're that good. And Demko's a really good goaltender. If they don't have a great defense, but they don't have a bad one. So, look, I just think they're a good team. But anyway, they're playing better. But again, Carolina played well tonight. You know, maybe they were a little bit mentally tired because they did make some mistakes, and we'll explain those in a second as we talk about the 2 Vancouver goals. Jacob Slavin only played 27 minutes and 4 seconds. That's it. Only 27:04 tonight. So in the 4 games in Canada on this road trip, 119 minutes and 12 seconds. So 48 seconds short of 2 hours. Oh, what a guy. Ian Cole played 22 minutes flat tonight. Brady Shea played 19:43. Those are the 3 guys who logged the most minutes for Carolina on the blue line. But as I said before, Andrei Svechnikov, real quick before we get to the Vancouver goals. Andrei Svechnikov is going to score. I'm confident because he's playing too well right now. Andre played a good game again tonight. He just didn't get a goal. I mean, he had so many scoring chances, I thought. But he just didn't get one to go. And he's going to get him. He nearly got one in the last 15 seconds. I think you heard in the final call of the game, he had a great move down the right side. It was the second one of those in the game where he cuts back in front. And whether he lost control of the puck or Demko tipped it or, you know, poked it away or whatever, it just didn't get through. But he's playing well. He's playing a big physical game. And as long as he continues to do that, then he'll be okay and he'll get his goals. But he only had 2 shots on goal, but he had 4 scoring chances. That last one, high danger. Well, he's been good. So I'm not worried about Andrei Svechnikov. They're going to start going in at some point, and they're going to go in by the bushel. So he's going to get going. I have no doubt about it at all. I'm far more concerned about Jordan Staal, even though he's not supposed to score goals. It's either 19 or 20 games. I think it's 20 games now without a goal. Or is it 19? It's a lot. It's too many. He hasn't scored since October. Nothing in November. And we are halfway through December, just about. And Bupkis for Jordan Staal. And he plays too many minutes, and he plays on the power play, and it's really hard. At some point, at some point, Rod might have to make a move and take Jordan Staal off the second power play unit, especially with the way Jesperi Kotkaniemi is playing. And he's a KK's a physical player. So it's just something to keep in mind. It's something to keep in mind. And the other thing you could do with Svechnikov, by the way, even though other lines have worked out, you know, it might be time to get Andre going with Sebastian and Teuvo Teravainen and get him going, and then you can spread him out like Rod really wants to. He doesn't want to load up with one line. He doesn't want to be a Boston Bruins team that only gets scoring from their top line and nothing else is consistently good. So maybe you go from SAT, and then you can spread those guys out. But Andre's playing well, so we're not going to be concerned with Andre Svechnikov. Okay? Is that fair? Good. All right. By the way, Seth Jarvis played well tonight. It's nice to see him play well. And Martin Natchez, as we pointed out, played over 21 minutes tonight and was one of the best players on the ice in that line. Was consistently good with Kotkaniemi, Natchez, and Jarvis. It was good to see Seth Jarvis make a bunch of plays tonight. But Kane's mistakes led to both goals. Jordan Staal won a battle behind the net, then lost a puck battle in the corner. And it just kind of, he could have cleared the zone, but he didn't get anything on it. The puck just kind of drifted up the left wall. Brady Shea was there. And Shea and Staal together couldn't do anything with the puck. They were pressured. And ultimately, it caroms off Staal's skate to Brock Besser, who sort of played catch back and forth with JT Miller, put Jalen Chatfield in a blender. He's going back and forth. Who do I get? Finally, Miller passed it back to Besser in the slot. 1-0 in the first period. Carolina was the better player, better team. Carolina's a better team in the first period, and they trailed 1-0, the goal coming at 18:29. So 91 seconds left in the period. That late goal gave Vancouver a bunch of momentum. But Carolina was still pretty good in the second. I mean, they weren't bad. I don't think Carolina was really bad at any point in this game. The puck just, if anything, they might have been, too anxious. But Carolina was good. Anyway, Canes misplay the puck in the second period, about midway through, 7:44 of the period. Ian Cole's trying to get the puck ahead to Natchez, Kotkaniemi, and Jarvis, and the puck gets intercepted. Tyler Myers went the other way. You heard the goal. And ultimately, Elias Pettersson just went upstairs on Raanta, and it's 2-0. And again, Carolina's been pretty good, but they trail 2-0. And then they finally get the goal from Natchez, which is a really nice play. Kotkaniemi makes a play at his own end. Jarvis makes the pass to Natchez, and credit to Mike Maniscalco for the naughty by Natchez reference. I was waiting for that. I was waiting for it. I just wasn't quick enough. I've been sitting on it. I've got my own. I've got my Jarvelous. Alec has his Infredible. Naughty by Natchez is excellent. Are you down with... never mind. So, they played well. They lost the game. I think we can all deal with it, right? The Canes are now 19-7-1. They are 12-4-1 on the road, and they will wrap up the road trip Tuesday night in Minnesota. Brett Pesce and Tony DeAngelo scheduled to rejoin the team and draw back into the lineup. They have been skating for the last several days, so we'll see what kind of condition they are in for gameplay. But I'm sure both will be able to go anywhere between 15 and 20 minutes, and that'll be welcome. And then if I had to guess, I would say that barring illness, you'll see Brendan Smith and Jalen Chatfield both come out of the lineup. Obviously, Max Lajoie as well. And if Sebastian Aho can't go in Minnesota, I won't be surprised to see Carolina call up a forward from the minor leagues. I don't think that Jordan Martinook is ready to go yet at all. So they might have to call up a forward. It'll be interesting to see who that might be. But we'll worry about that when we get closer to it. It might be, C.J. Smith, somebody like that, just to run around on the fourth line. I did say we were going to get to some questions, but before we do that, this is not part of the Q&A. If I can convey anything, and nobody wants to tell fans not to be fans, but if I can convey anything, it would be, let's not treat every game like it's a referendum. Let's not look at a game like tonight, where, again, Carolina played well enough to win and just didn't. I mean, they weren't great, they weren't perfect, but they played well enough to win. I'm not in any way bummed, other than the fact you want to get a win. But we can't see a game like this and say, I think Carolina needs another top six forward who can score. Svech, Nino, Trocheck, Natchez, just not contributing. Yes, I believe Carolina should find a player who can play in front of Andrei Svechnikov, Martin Natchez, Vincent Trocheck, Nino. Oh, gosh, come on. Please, people. You're not going to win them all. It was a joke when we were doing it. Remember, you can't go 82-0 without going 8-0. We always knew that was going to fall apart. So, come on. We got to stop that. We have to stop the every game is a referendum on everything about this team. All right. With that said, let's answer a couple of questions, shall we? I did say we're going to do a little Twitter Q&A. The answer to my friend Corey, will we ever sleep again, is no. Not today, Zerg, as our friend Buzz Lightyear would say. This was the last... I think it was the last Pacific time game of the year. I think there's still one in Arizona. There's still one in Colorado. And there's still one in St. Louis. So we'll do Mountain Time twice. I think Arizona is now on Mountain Time. We'll do Central Time one more time. And that's it. And then everything else is... Of course, Minnesota on Tuesday. And by the way, that's an ESPN Plus exclusive, so it will not be Mike and Tripp and Abby for that one. So I don't know who's doing the game for ESPN Plus. So we're done with, we have just, after Tuesday, we'll have three more non-East Coast games. Yeah. All right, to the Q&A. From Matt. Who says he's an estranged Canes fan who won't finance them. Okay. Rank the following D-men on how likely they are to be in the top six when everyone is healthy and able. Chatfield, D'Angelo, Lajoie, Cole. He assumes Slavin, Pesci, Shea, and Bear are no-brainers. So are Lajoie and Cole. I'm sorry. So are D'Angelo and Cole, Matt. That's their top six. This ain't hard. I think Jalen Chatfield has a future. I do with this organization. Lajoie, to me, is a profiles at best as a seventh defenseman. I mean, it's not. I think there's something to Max Lajoie, and you can certainly step into your lineup. And get you out of a game or a couple of games, but I don't think he's going to be a regular in the NHL. I think Jalen Chatfield has a chance to be a third pair guy, skates well, plays a physical game. I think has a nose for offense. So I mean I think Chatfield can play, but I don't believe that he's going to be part of this group barring injury. But that's an easy one. And look, I'm not sure that Bear is a top four defenseman right now for this team. I do believe D'Angelo has played way better than anybody thought he would. So now Bear might play with Slavin, might go back to playing with Slavin when everybody, you know, when they've got their full complement on the blue line. But Bear only played 9 minutes tonight, 9.5 minutes or so. So I think he was the lowest, either he or Lajoie, among defensemen. Now they had seven defensemen, but still, you would think that Bear would have played more than that. Ian Cole played 22 minutes tonight after playing almost 26 the other night. All right, moving on to Erdaves. I don't know how to pronounce it. What are your thoughts on the introduction of gambling into the NHL? Well, I don't think we've just introduced it. Gambling in the NHL has been around for a long time. Gambling on everything has been around for a long time. But I appreciate the fact that the NHL and every sports league has embraced what everybody understands is really commonplace. Gambling on sports has been around forever. I mean, I'm sure when they were oiling each other up for the ancient Olympic Games, people were placing bets. I mean, why does anybody get bent out of shape about that? I'm not saying Erdaves does, but I am all for gambling, talking about it. Heck, it wouldn't bother me if they mentioned it, you know, during the course of play, and sometimes they do. So it's okay. It's good. Now, the NHL, there are not too many ways you can bet. You bet on the winner, and then there's the over-under on goals. I guess there is a goal line you could bet. You could have taken, say, the Hurricanes minus a goal and a half tonight. So, I mean, there's no such thing as minus a half a goal because that's just a win. You could have done that. If you had the Hurricanes minus a goal and a half in Edmonton Saturday night, then you would have won that bet. But I'm all about it. It's just NHL is not necessarily the best sport in the world to bet, but you know, it's not like football. Football is the easiest sport in the world to bet. I've always said that that's one of the things about it. Actually, Erdaves has another question. Let's get to it. What's the correct procedure for feedback regarding game officiating? No one seems to have laid that out. I guess Sarah Sivian, our friend from The Athletic, randomly mentioned on her podcast last week that the Canes and Rod Brind'Amour may be appealing his fine. Is that true? I'm going to say this. I've spoken to Rod about it. I think way too much has been made about this. I mean, no offense. I mean, but Rod got fined. Okay, let's move on. Keep it moving, man. He berated an official. The NHL didn't like it, so he took a $25,000 fine that Tom Dundon paid for him. Rod ain't paying that fine. Dundon's going to pay the fine. We spend way too much time worrying about the officials. Way too much time in all sports. It's annoying, frankly. So I get unsympathetic when it comes to the officiating. They miss calls. Yes, they miss calls. And if you want to believe that there is, I don't know, a vendetta or some sort of a slant against Carolina, I mean, I can't stop you from believing that. I don't think Carolina has gotten any breaks with officiating, certainly not any to the degree that they've gotten some bad calls against them. I still can't believe they looked at the Vincent Trocheck video against Boston and the hit on Tage Thompson and still gave him a five-minute major at a game when the entire situation was caused by Tage Thompson stopping and turning back into Trocheck. I mean, it's just a joke that was a major in a game. And yes, the Hurricanes have been called for embellishment 3 times this year, and we have seen situations where clearly the opposition dives and it's not called. But to think that those are intentional is another story altogether. So I just don't think this is an issue. And I don't know who Rod would appeal the fine to, because it was handed down from the league. So if you appeal to the league, they're not going to say, you know what, we were wrong. So again, I hate being unsympathetic to these things, but I'm largely unsympathetic to it. Randall, who should the Canes be targeting before the trade deadline? I'll tell you what, Randall. I am going to answer this with the next question, and Air Dave's had a lot of questions. Kane's biggest strength, Kane's biggest weakness, and then a funny one, what on earth is a bay window? I'm sorry, a bow window. A bow window is a, like, you normally would have these in like a living room or a den or a sitting room. And a bow window is a curved window with a little bit of a ledge inside. It sort of sits out from the house. That's a bow window. A bay window is a boxed window of the same kind. Kind of sits out from the house and is a little ledge there. You could even put some cushions, maybe sit on it. It's very nice. Anyway, so Kane's biggest strength. I mean, it's easy to say, like, skill. But I'm going to say I think their biggest strength is team defense. For the most part, all of Carolina's forwards are good defensively. For the most part. Now, that's not across the board all the time. But if you get the Canes playing their game, their guys are good on the forecheck, and their guys are responsible getting back defensively. They're good back-checking. They're good in the corners. Sebastian Aho is a great example. He is as complete a center as there is in the league. I'm not saying that he's more complete, but there is nobody. I mean, he's just, he's a 200-foot player. So I think that's their biggest strength, team defense. Their biggest weakness, I think, is this. And I think you saw it when they played Washington. I think you saw it when they played San Jose. And I think you saw it when they played Dallas. I think Carolina can be pushed around a little bit. So, to me, when you get to the playoffs, those types of things tend to be a thing. However, I think in the Eastern Conference, the only team that really concerns me who plays that type of hockey, well, Tampa does, but I don't think Tampa's necessarily a big physical team. They're just a physical team, and they have the best goaltender on earth. Florida can play a big game. Washington concerns me because Washington really, I think, kind of intimidated Carolina a little bit with their physicality. So that to me is their biggest weakness, that I think you can be physical with them. A minor one is that I don't think Carolina is as quick on the back end. I think they're good skaters, but I think that you can get behind their defense, especially Cole, and to an extent, Bear. I think Bear's a good player, but I don't think Bear's real fast. So that'll be interesting to see if they decide to add. First of all, every team should, if you have a chance to win a cup, every team should add NHL depth on the blue line. I know Carolina has Brendan Smith, but you can have another one. You're not going to get hurt with another one. So I would add another one. I also think that at some point they'll probably try to add, as long as they have the cap room, and right now they don't, but by the end of the year, as you accumulate some cap space, deadline space, I wouldn't be surprised if they added a forward that can play in their top nine that has a little, can play a physical game. But if you're asking me who, I couldn't even venture a guess as to who right now. But I think that's something they might try and target, but it also depends on how a lot of other players are playing. So, because right now, there's not a lot of room at the end, right? It just isn't. There's just no place, there's no spot in the top nine for somebody to play. So, there you go. I thought that was fun. We'll do this again. I am Adam Gold. This is the Canes Corner Podcast. We invite you to give us a rating and a review wherever you get your podcast. Let us know what you think, because why not? We like the feedback. We are brought to you by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. If it's for the exterior of your home, you can find it at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina on Hamblin Road in Durham. If you like a good bow window, you know, that curved window that sits out from like your sitting room, your living room, maybe you put some cushions on it, you can get a free no obligation estimate online at aluminumcompany.com. Sammy Hannon and his crew do a great job. Until after the Canes battle the Wild on Tuesday, I'm Adam. See you.
This has been the Canes Corner Podcast with Adam Gold, presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. You can listen to this podcast at WRALSportsBand.com or wherever you get your podcasts.